Hello, high school hockey fans. Welcome back to This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm your host, Mike Hammett, with our astute panel of Dan Bauer, Bill Berg, and Bill Berg Jr. Always happy to have you check in on us as we talk high school hockey in the state of Wisconsin here. And we got plenty to cover today, and we're going to get to it. And we're going to start out with the subject that we've been hitting on the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about donations. We have an issue going on. We kind of need some help. And Burglar, you want to go ahead and let everybody know what I'm talking about?
I can do that, MJ. I will recap. As you know, we talked about before, we had some mildly annoying pop-up ads on our site for several years, and they crossed the line between being mildly annoying and being intolerable. So we dropped them, and we have a goal of $8,500 to make up for the revenue that we used to get from those ads. $8,500 is just about what it costs us to cover the state tournament. So we have asked for donations, and they started off with a bang. I mean, money was just pouring in left and right. We got up to, I think we're around 35% now, but it was trickling down, and now it's kind of stopped. So we need a little boost if we're going to get from 35% up to the full goal amount. And I just want to highlight one of the donations we got. Most of our donations have been coming in by Venmo. We've got a few older people that use PayPal and a few even older people that have sent us checks. And one of the people that sent us a check, it was a substantial check. I'm not going to embarrass him by giving you the amount, but it was nice. It'll, at the very least, it'll probably cover two rooms, or well, two nights worth of rooms at the state tournament for us this year. The check came from the very proud grandfather of Carolyn Marcel Olson, who attends Whitefish Bay High School and plays for the U School Wildcats Co-op. She also plays on Team Wisconsin, the U16 Team Wisconsin. And he wanted us to mention that Team Wisconsin, the U16 Team Wisconsin, defeated the hockey factory that is Shattuck 3-2 on November 1st at Chippewa Falls. I don't think anybody reported that game to us earlier. It's not really an official part of our coverage, but we will, I mean, we post anything we get from Team Wisconsin or the Selects or the Wheel or any of that stuff in the off season. Anyway, he loves our he loves our podcasts. Our weekly roundup and comments are immensely appreciated. Case in point being our first podcast of the year on the subject of Tomahawk. And he definitely agrees with us that the WIAA dropped the ball on this one. And it's a travesty that the smallest public school in the state has got to play D1. How stupid can the state regulators be? I'm not going to answer that question. Anyway, he
Hold my
hopes to
beer.
meet our goal. And this is he really appreciates the methodical and thorough analysis of Bill Berg Jr., Dan Bauer, and MJ Hammett, even with the extended pauses, and I don't quite get that part, that we bring to the podcast. And I don't recall any extended pauses. I mean, occasionally there's a little bit of lapse when we make our transitions. But anyway, J.E. Kuiper sent this note, and thank you for your donation, and thank you for your kind words. And we need more of those if we're going to reach our goal. We got a ways to go yet. It started off great, but now it stopped. So we're hoping to get that by the end of this month, which we have about 2 weeks left. So That's one way that we're trying to make up for that money. The other way we're trying to make up for it is our ace ad salesman, Dan Bauer, has been hitting the streets, hawking our wares up and down the state. And Dan wants to give us an update on team page sponsorships.
Yeah, first of all, his granddaughter, Carolyn Olson, she's a really nice player for university school. I watched her play a couple times last year. She's a junior and definitely one of the better players on that team. I think, I just finished doing a story talking to George Bauman and going back through the high school, Wisconsin High School hockey report that he put together for 24 years. And at the end of his run of 24 years, he said he thinks the highest he got was charging people $10 for a subscription, and you would get his newsletter in the mail every week. So I guess kind of we're kind of looking for kind of that same thing, only the price of inflation. It's a little more than $10 that we probably need now. But hopefully people, are, value what we're doing and enjoy reading and following the teams and can find a way to continue to make donations. We appreciate that. But one of the other ways that you can help out is sponsoring a team page. So we have 120 some plus teams across the girls and the Division I, Division II, and we've got quite a few sponsors already. We have a lot of open teams. If you're interested, you can just shoot me an email and or just go to your team's page and take a look. We can have more than one sponsor on a page. It's not limited to a single person or a single business. But just, check in with me and I can send you the information. We can get that going. And to get a banner for your team page, it's $100, and that renews on November 1st every year. So you would have that up until November 1st of next year. So hopefully we'll get some people that will continue to do that. It's a good way to show support for your team. And I'm just going to run down some of the sponsors that we have secured already this year. Aaron Nowak, Century 21 out of Eagle River, Fuller Sales and Service in Antigo, On Wisconsin Transportation in Tomah, Elite Realty Group in Eau Claire, RMF Auto Service in Hudson, Cranston Concessions, Olson Solar Energy, which is La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, Green Bay, and Madison, Badger Technology in Port Washington, Edward Jones in Viroqua, Omega Hockey Services out of Hudson, the Beaver Dam Booster Club, Toboggan Run Dental in Rice Lake, the Blaze AAA Hockey in Somerset, run by Dan Gilkerson, and Thomas J. Duffy, attorney law in Hayward, and American Family Insurance, the Jason Lassen Agency in Tomah and Holman. So those are sponsors that have come forward, and you can find those all on the pages of Wisconsin Prep Hockey as you're going through and checking things out, and encourage more teams to give me a call or an email, and we'll get you signed up and get your name on a banner.
One of the reasons we're doing this, and something that always comes up whenever we talk about needing revenue to keep the site running, is the idea of charging a subscription for use of the site. And when we first announced that we're going to do this, that was one of the first recommendations. Oh, well, you guys should charge a subscription. It'd be worth whatever, for a site. And all I have to say is over my dead body. If I retire from Wisconsin Prep Hockey and somebody else takes it over, maybe they will charge a subscription. It's not going to happen as long as I'm involved. So, I mean, it's one of, we want to avoid a subscription. There are ways of doing it. Some sites have, like all the scores and the games and stuff. But if you want to do any of the in-depth analysis, you need a that's a plus package. You need a subscription for that. We don't even want to do that. We've always been free. We like doing it. We don't want to charge a subscription. So, with that, I think we're done with the donation. Well, I hope we're not done with the donations. We still need more. But anyway, we're ready to move on there, MJ. Trying to avoid that lengthy pause here.
Let's go to games of the week. Cooley Region was that EC Stars, ECA Stars, I'm sorry. And that means that Dan was at that game and he's going to tell us all about it.
All right, yeah, Hobbs Ice Arena last week during those fairly cold stretches we had, but Hobbs is pretty nice and warm, comfortable to watch a game. So Eau Claire, Altoona, ECA, of course, went to the state tournament last year. Kind of the Cinderella team. I think all three of their playoff games went into overtime and almost snuck out the semifinal game down there at state, but lost a lot of kids to graduation, but they seem to have really reloaded their team with some young players and some other players who are stepping up their game a little bit. Cooley Region, a team that's still kind of trying to find their way after a few tough seasons, the last two. So the Eau Claire got off to a 1-0 lead in the first period, and it was a pretty even period, pretty back and forth. But then the second, third period, the depth and the scoring of Eau Claire took over. They have two players right now, Molly Wright, who is a junior, and she's currently leading the state in scoring with 7 goals and 8 assists. And her line mate, freshman Kessia Lahner, is, I think, fifth in the state right now, I believe, and she is 8 goals and 4 assists for 12 points. And during this game in particular, they teamed up for 5 goals and 3 assists. So out of the final score ended up being 8-1 Eau Claire. They had 5 of the 8 goals. It was a little bit of a mismatch. The goaltender for Cooley Region is Grace Johnsrud, and this is basically her second year of playing goalie. So she is, clearly at a disadvantage. That's a really tough position to try to learn in a short span of time like that. She did play a little bit of goaltender occasionally, I believe, as youth, but this is really her second, just going into her second year of being in net full time. And at times that showed she had, some trouble with some shots and probably some shots that she knows she would like to have back. Cooley's first line of Brooke Borkenhagen, Samara Collins, and Reagan Domack, they really played well the whole game, and they were able to match up with Eau Claire pretty much shift by shift. Probably those three scored the prettiest goal, or two of them scored the prettiest goal of the game on a nice 2-on-1, and Borkenhagen crossed the blue line, pulled the defenseman to the right-hand dot, and then made a nice pass across to Domack and took a couple of strides and then just beat Milena Menard through the short side corner, top corner for Menard. That was her first high school start. She's a freshman for Eau Claire, and that was her first start and win. Again, the final was 8-1. So the Stars appear to be at this point. They have a big test this week. They're playing Hayward tonight in Barron. They'll play the Fusion on Thursday. We'll find out a little bit more about them, but they appear to be real. Because after they beat Cooley on Thursday, they went up to Superior Friday night and beat them 5-2. Both their losses this year, they outshot their opponents. They outshot the Storm, lost 1-0, outshot Hudson, lost 2-0. So both their losses, they did not score a goal. And then for Cooley, Jamie Olson, second year head coach, has his work cut out for him, but I think he really has the right attitude, the right demeanor. To kind of rebuild this program. And it was just back in 21-22 that they were in the state tournament. In the state tournament championship game is on Alaska, won 17-7 the next year. And then in 23-24 was the year it kind of all came crashing down. They went 1-22-1 and then 4-17-1 last year. So they're on their way back, but I like what I see out of the program and what I hear from their coach. So yeah, that was the game of the week. Not probably as exciting as we would have liked it to have been, but there's always good things to pull out of every game. So Eau Claire with an 8-1 win over Cooley for girls' game of the week.
All right, Dan. Let's move on to the boys. Junior, you were at the Marathon Cup Championship. Wausau West and those DC Everest Evergreens.
Yep, this was the 48th annual Marathon Cup. The first day, Thursday, saw Wausau West beat Wausau East Merrill 11-1, and DC Everest beat Mosinee 6-1, which was kind of a surprise. Not that they won at all, but that they won by that kind of margin. Then on Saturday in the consolation game, East Merrill held Mosinee in check. It was 1-1 halfway through the game, but then Mosinee ran away with it for a 6-1 win in that one to set up the championship game between Wausau West and DC Everest. It was pretty quiet for the first 6 minutes of the game. And then Wausau West, the same first line that they had last year, Owen Pergolski, Chase Crass, and Cooper DePuyt. Owen Pergolski carried the puck deep in along the dot and found a streaking Crass in front of the net for just a tap-in one-timer goal to take the 1-0 lead. But then DC Everest, much to the crowd's delight, answered back just 30 seconds later. Xavier May buried a rebound in. It was one of the only rebound opportunities that Everest really had the whole game to tie it up just 30 seconds later. And it stayed that way until about a minute and a half left in the first period when Teagan Rasmus scored on a feed from Crass to give the Warriors a 2-1 lead on the power play heading into the first intermission. The shots in the first period kind of told the story of how the game was going. West outshot Everest 14-7 in the first period. The second period, shot totals evened up largely because Wausau West could not stop taking penalties for the last 5 or 6 minutes of the period. Started with a 2 minute head contact penalty. Just a minute into that, the goalie, Julian Scalcucci, got an unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't know what he said, but the ref didn't like it. And that made it 5-on-3. 9 seconds into the 5-on-3, West took a checking from behind penalty, which was another, that's a 5-and-10. And the 5 minutes didn't start ticking until that first penalty actually wore off. First penalty wore off, second penalty wore off. West took another penalty, keeping it at 5-on-3. This one for holding, I believe. So all in all, DC Everest at the end of the second period had about 5 minutes of 5-on-3 hockey and didn't score. They managed to get some shots, but as Coach Van Slyke said, Scalcucci was tremendous on our initial shot, and we were not able to find a way to take advantage of our rebound opportunities. And that's the kind of thing you expect from Julian Scalcucci, who is, of course, Team Wisconsin's goalie. In fact, Wausau West picked up a shorthanded goal during that 5 minutes of 5-on-3 play to make it 3-1. Third period was quiet pretty much the whole way through until Hendricks Damrow scored an empty netter at the 15:58 mark to make it a 4-1 final and gave Wausau West their 19th consecutive Marathon Cup championship.
Consecutive?
19th consecutive.
Holy moly.
Yeah, 19 in a row. If you go to Marathon Park, Wausau West's home rink, they have a big board behind the stands of all the years that they've won the Marathon Cup, and they ran out of space a couple of years ago. So they're not even updating it anymore because there's no room on that board to keep putting numbers on it.
Junior, who's the last team to win it other than them?
I don't know. I believe there was a year, because 19 years ago, so it would have been math on the fly, 2006-ish. I believe Wausau East had a really good year back then, and Mosinee had a really good year, one of the early 2000s years, too. So it could have been one of those two. Everest would have been too young at that point. Everest didn't play varsity hockey until 1997.
Was Dan Bauer the coach of Wausau East then?
That was somewhere during my tenure, yes.
So I
But
don't know if it was.
we never won the Marathon Cup when I was there. I can
So then it
definitely
was, yeah,
attest to that.
I think Mosinee 2005, 2006, Mosinee had a team back in the single division days that made it to state. I would guess that that's the team that did it, but we don't have on our site right now, we don't have stats going back that far. So I'd have to find the old point streak archives to see if I could track
Right,
that down.
there was a year where Mosinee really had a good team. They actually went to state that year.
Probably Chase Drake
Yeah,
year.
that's the team. Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I can find it for you. I got 5 boxes of George Bauman's high school hockey reports here, and every year from like 19 early 80s, I can find it. I'll look it up. I'll find it.
19 years ago, Wausau West did not win the Marathon Cup. Yeah, 19 straight. So that's what we did. That's what I did. The Thursday game was kind of fun. Most of my squirt team was there with me. We had our charitable act that day. So first, the team and I and their parents, we went to Marathon County Humane Society, donated a bunch of stuff to them, and the kids played with the dog. And then we went and watched DC Everest beat Mosinee on Thursday, and then I was back there on Saturday in an official Wisconsin prep hockey capacity instead of in a Everest youth hockey capacity.
I like that. Taking the kids and giving back. Very nice.
I don't know how many youth associations do that, but it is a requirement at Everest youth hockey. Every team has to do a charitable act every year.
It's not a bad thing to do. I know when Mason went through, they went and, this time of year they went and rang for the Salvation Army, rang bells. So yeah, they some places do that. I mean, I'm sure everybody has something they do, but yeah, going
We've
back to
had teams that do bells. We had teams that were doing the Hockey Against Hunger. Last year, our team did blankets for the United Way.
very nice. Let's move on to players of the week. Dan, our girls player of the week. Looks like she had a pretty good week.
The biggest thing for her is her game against Lakeshore Lightning, and the player of the week is University Schools defenseman Nora Sellers. She's a sophomore. She had a 6-point week last week, but her big game was on Tuesday when USM pulled what maybe could be considered a minor upset over Lakeshore 4-3. And in that game, Nora had 2 goals and an assist. And then later on Saturday, she had a goal and 2 assists in a win over Janesville. Her head coach, Sarah Pearson, called her play against Lakeshore lights out and said she was just on another level. So, not your typical defenseman. Nora is 5'3". Last year, she had 3 goals and 6 assists for the year, but she also had 40 penalty minutes. So I asked her coach about that, and she said she was the most physical player on the team last year, but didn't quite know how to control it. She said this year she's doing a much better job getting rid of the penalties. Said she's one of the hardest working players on the team. Scrappy and hates to lose, and she said that's what fuels her to win every battle out on the ice. So, 5'3" defenseman from University School, player of the week, Nora Sellers.
Hey Dan, I thought we talked about this and we were going to make Carolyn Olson the player of the week.
That's her teammate. I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
To be clear, despite Bergler's joke, you cannot buy the player of the week.
Unless you want to pay off the whole thing for the
Yeah, you can
donations we're looking
be the
for, we
player of
can.
the week for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Everybody or everything has a price, I guess. Boys player of the week? Well, it's Calvin Lukowski of Black River Falls. Calvin last Thursday had 3 goals and 2 assists in a 10-7 loss to the Avalanche, but on Friday bounced back strong and led his team to victory. 4 goals, 4 assists, 11-6 win over the Northwest Icemen. So Calvin, let's see, that's 7-6. That's 13 points in 2 games. Calvin Lukowski is the boys' player of the week. And guys, that's some pretty good numbers right there. 13 points total in 2 games.
Yeah, he's the leading scorer and boy, leading boys scorer in the state. So yeah, he's had a really, really good start to the year. 19 goals. That's pretty impressive. And I did look up some of his stuff because I did a little blurb on him this week. But in 76 career games, he's got 139 goals. So that's
Jeez.
1.82 goals a game. He has it's kind of crazy. 12 hat tricks, 11 4-goal games, 2 5-goal games, and a 7-goal game. So he scored 3 or more goals in 26 out of his 76 games. So almost one third of his games, he's putting 3 or more goals on the board. It's pretty impressive.
No doubt about that. Well, it's time to get to the top sixes. And Junior, as he always does, counts them all out and puts together a list of the top sixes, D1, D2, and girls. And I know there's people sitting on the edge of their seat wanting to know if their team is in one of those classes. And well, let's break the suspense, Junior. Go right ahead.
Sure. D1, we'll start with D1 this week. Spash, surprising very few people, is number one overall. They received all but two of the first place votes. Neenah Horton-Villemenasha is second. Wausau West is third. Madison Edgewood is fourth. Hudson is fifth. And Fox Cities is sixth. Also receiving votes alphabetically are Bay Area, Brookfield, Muskego, Notre Dame Academy, Tomahawk, and University School. Moving on to Division Two, McFarland is number one, Northland Pines is two, River Falls is three, and those three pretty much divided up the first place votes. Wanakee is fourth, Amory is fifth, Baldwin Woodville is sixth. Also receiving votes alphabetically are Hayward, Homestead, Lakeland, Mosinee, Rice Lake, Somerset, St. Mary's Springs, and Wapaka. And then for the girls, Bay Area is the unanimous number one. Western Wisconsin is second. Eau Claire area is third. St. Croix Valley is fourth. Central Wisconsin is fifth. And the Lakeshore Lightning are sixth. And for whatever reason, I forgot to copy and paste the girls' teams that also received votes.
Well,
I
I
see in
got two
D2.
things. I got two things to add to that. Well, one, it's well, the serious one. It's Fox Cities getting up there, relatively new for them, and we have a volunteer correspondent named Dustin Reese, who is covering all of the Fox Cities Stars games and writing them up for us. It was either last year or the year before. We had, I think it was last year, we had some guys from Brookfield. One of the guys would write up the game and the other one would send us pictures. So we will, as long as it's a serious, write-up that's not just completely homer to one side and trashing the other team, we will put stories up there. If you want to write a game summary for your team after a game and send it to us, I mean, we'll look it over, and if we think it's worthy, we'll put it up there. We obviously, there are four of us, we can't cover every game in the state that we see. So if somebody else wants to write up a story and send it to us, we'll post it. The other thing I wanted to mention, and this is only like half in jest, is you listed the also receiving votes for D2. I'm pretty sure Tomahawk received at least one vote in D2, and I don't see them listed there.
No, and I told you I wasn't going to count it. As much as we would like Tomahawk to be in the proper division, which is Division Two, we're not using any alternate facts or, you know, fake electors here. Tomahawk is a Division One team, whether or not we want them to be. So that's where their votes were counted. You are not the only person who put Tomahawk on your ballot. a couple of the coaches did as well. And, you know, I had to, you know, remove those. I have a question for the wider Fox Valley area out there. We see Neenah is at second and Fox Cities is at sixth. In 2015, 2016, Appleton United went 21-2 and won the state tournament. Trenton Bliss from that team ended up playing 4 years at Michigan Tech, 3 years in the AHL and ECHL, and he is currently playing in Norway, still being paid money to play hockey. Since that state championship, they've won 15 games, 8, 5, 5, 6, 6, 12, 1, 8. And this year they're currently 2-4. My question for those of you that live in the Appleton Fox Valley area is why? Because it's not like there's a lack of kids. Appleton youth hockey has 5 squirt teams, 4 peewee teams, 3 bantam teams. The Fox Valley Blades Youth Hockey Association has 4 squirt teams, 3 peewee teams, 3 bantam teams. Between Neenah, Fox City Stars, and Appleton United, I don't understand what happened to Appleton United, because like they won runner up in 2014-15 and then the state championship in 2015-16, and since then they've just kind of been bad. And before that they weren't bad. They were always a decent team. I don't know what happened. So if you know what happened and why, a team, especially a youth association with those kind of numbers, just the last, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 7 of those 8 years, they've won less than 12 games. Like, what's going on over there? Explain it to me like I'm 5. Because when I see a youth association with that kind of numbers, usually it translates to wins at the high school level.
Sure does. One of the things I noticed in the poll is in Division Two, you've got McFarland, the number one team, and Wanakee, the number four team, and they are playing tonight.
Are they scoring it live?
No, they're not. So you got number one and number four buttonheads tonight down here. Too bad they weren't scoring it live. I'd like to really be keeping an eye on that.
It looks like Wanakee won 1-0.
Chase Drake is coach at Wanakee.
Yep. Well, yeah, looks like they've entered the score now and Wanakee won 1-0.
I think Pines is the best team in Division Two, but...
And Pines is very young. Half of their roster is freshmen.
They gave Tomahawk a run for their money over there and on their home ice, and that game could end up going either way. They're pretty good. And I also got to see Neenah a little bit on Saturday. I was watching the Eau Claire-Augsburg game, and Neenah and North were playing on the other rink, so I was running back and forth between the two games. And Neenah, they had their way all weekend over there with Memorial and North. Really, I think it was 7-0 and 6-1, I think, were the scores over the weekend. So, yeah, they look like they're definitely for real also.
I would have to dig deep into our archives to find the last time the Central Wisconsin Storm were outside of the top three.
Yeah, probably, I would think. There was that. I know we already did player of the week, but there's one player that I need to mention, because just digging through box scores and then going to Live Barn and checking a few things out. Eau Claire Memorial's Luke Schemberger against River Falls. Their team is down 2-0, and he scores a goal with 4 seconds left in the second period to make it 2-1. He ties it in the third period to make it 2-2, and then he sets up Carter Hayes with a great 2-on-1 pass with 19 seconds left in the game for Eau Claire to win 3-2. So pretty decent game for Luke Schemberger. Got in on all three goals and brought his team back from down 2-0. So I just thought that was a pretty good effort. Not enough for player of the week, but maybe honorable mentions.
I did find it. The last time the Central Wisconsin Storm was rated outside of the top three was December 12th, 2022. That was the first poll of the season, and then for the rest of that season, they were in the top three, the 22-23 season. So that was the last time the Central Wisconsin Storm have been out of the top three. So 3 full years ago.
Yeah, the girls' side, Bay Area, I mean, they just look absolutely untouchable. They've won 30 straight games now. And they just don't. I mean, no one's even the closest team. Black River held them, played them to a 2-0 game, but other than that, it hasn't really been anything close. So yeah, there's some good games going on. There'll be some good games this week. Like I said, the Eau Claire and the Fusion will play. Bay Area goes to Fond du Lac. So Kennedy Coleman, if there's a goalie in the state that might be able to shut them down, she might be the one. And then Hayward comes to Greenheck on Saturday to play the Storm. And then I'll be in Madison to watch Beaver Dam, who's undefeated at this time, play against Cap City, who should be one of the favorites. Those two should be the favorites to come out of Section 4.
All right. Yeah, I was just going through this. It's Tuesday night when we are recording this, and looking at some of these scores tonight, my goodness, some teams really scoring a lot of goals tonight. Janesville's up 8-1 in their game. Wausau West put 10 on the board tonight. You know, even Ashland put 7 on the board tonight. You know, there's some teams there. You know, Somerset had 8 tonight. These are just a few of the games that are almost done or been sent in. So,
I can
lot of
beat
scoring
that.
tonight. What's
Last week,
that?
I can beat that. Last week, Northwest Iceman, Black River Falls. They were tied 1-1 at the end of the first period. Between the two teams, they scored 13 goals in the second period. And then they each
Did they
scored one.
just pull the goalies and play 6-on-6?
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't look at Live Barn, but at the end of the third period, they each scored one again. And I wound up 11-6. That was Lukowski. He had seven, or no, that was for the week, 7 goals and 4 assists. But I think he had a hat trick in that one. But yeah, 13 goals in the second period. That's got to be real close to a record.
Wow. Upcoming games of the week. I suppose we should get this in quick. Beaver Dam girls going to be taking on the Cap City Cougars. And Thursday, probably not the most exciting game, but it is a rivalry game. I'll be here at the Woodman Sports and Convention Center, brand new arena here in Janesville, as Janesville and Milton, who share Janesville Youth Hockey Association, split them up, and we got two teams, and a little bit of a going to be interesting to see once these two teams get going, and now that they're in the same sectional and they're playing in the same building, going to be kind of fun to see, you know. So, as Junior always said, you get two teams of about equal talent, you got the makings of a good game. So, our boys' game of the week is going to be Milton at Janesville. I'll be there, and I'll take care of everything just like Dan does with the girls. Beaver Dam at Cap City. All right, got through all that. Final thoughts. Anybody got something on their mind that they just want to talk about?
Yeah, we put
There's
the
a
call out last week, but if you're hosting or playing in a holiday tournament, please send us the schedule sooner rather than later.
We have gotten a couple.
Okay. All right. I think that, oh, I know what I was going to tell you guys. This past weekend, you know, you guys know I'm the broadcaster for the NAHL Janesville Jets. Have been for 17 seasons. One of the teams we play is the Fairbanks Ice Dogs. And some of the Wisconsin kids seem to end up there for some reason. And they've got two of them up there from Eau Claire Memorial. Defenseman Madsen, I can't remember his first name, and Mac Diggins. Mac Diggins last weekend scored on Friday night for his first time in almost 2 months. And then on Saturday night, he scored as well. You know, he's got seven goals on the season, and you know, he's starting to make the transition, maybe turn the corner a little bit for himself. And boy, did he have a big contingency there to watch him. So props to Mac Diggins for you know, his junior career getting started, and it's an adjustment, but he seems to be making it.
It is an adjustment. You know, I mentioned Trenton Bliss earlier. His first full season in juniors, he spent, I think it was just like six games in the NAHL and the rest of it was in the USHL. He only put up like 6 points that season. And then the next year he came back and had like 60 points. His second year in the USHL. And then obviously he had his 4 years at Michigan Tech and, you know, finishing as assistant captain his last 2 years. So yeah, that first year in juniors can be, it can be tough on in a lot of guys, and especially since, like, I mean, Mac Diggins, if you look at the roster for the Fairbanks Ice Dog, you've got, you know, 2005 and 2006 birth year players, and he's a 2008.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a young guy playing against older guys. So turning around is good. Yeah. And they also have Kyle Rohrer of Oregon on that team.
He's got a Division I scholarship. I see. How could I forget about Kyle Rohrer? Boy, that young man is awfully fast, and he has adjusted well to the junior hockey level of play. And Kyle does a pretty good job. He was in on the action on Friday and Saturday night as they beat Janesville both nights. We won't get into more details about that, but Kyle Rohrer is just, his game has adjusted so much, and he's really a lot of fun to watch up there. Kind of a high octane kid with some skill, and he's done a nice job.
His last year at Oregon, he had 100 points.
Yeah.
111 if you count the playoffs. I mean,
and he, you know, he played for some guy by the name of Larry Clemens, I believe. So that's about all I have on talking about guys that kind of something I remembered about. So Mac Diggins and Kyle Rohrer doing a nice job up there at Fairbanks, where it's dark and cold this time of year.
I don't know about your part of Wisconsin, but it's cold in this part of Wisconsin. today was our first day above freezing since November 26th.
Yeah. Yeah, we did too. We got up, I think it was 34 or 36 down here. And I guess it's supposed to hit a 40-degree day here fairly soon. So,
is Fairbanks far enough north to be a midnight sun type place, or are they in southern Alaska?
No, they're Fairbanks, they're way in northern. They are way, way up there. In fact, they're up there where you can go to the Arctic Circle. That's how high up they are.
No thanks.
At least not this time of year.
And the Fairbanks Ice Dogs also have a player from Eagle River, but he's from Eagle River, Alaska, not Eagle River, Wisconsin.
I'll just make one more plea for the donations. We really haven't decided what we're going to do if we don't hit our target. We've kind of hoped we don't have to make that call. So please, we got 2 weeks left.
Okay. We'd sure appreciate the help if you could. And I agree, Bill, I agree with you. I wouldn't want this to be a pay site either. I hate those things, especially when you just want to look up a simple score. You know, I talked about that last week when you want to just look up a score for, you know, how did so and so do last night? And you get on the newspaper, you click on it, and it's like, nope, you don't have a subscription. You can't see it.
Yeah, or if you just click on a link, you know, click on a link on Facebook or Twitter or something, and you click on the link and you go there. Oh, you need a subscription to see this. Well, no.
Nope, that's not happening. All right, Junior, I guess you got your 2 cents in.
Yep.
Okay, Bill, Dan, I know they do. All right, well, we'll come back next week, put together a nice show to our ability, and we appreciate everybody listening. And please, donations help. So Bill's talked about that enough, so we'd appreciate it, really would. Let's see, we'll get one more show in before Christmas, right?
Yep.
Okay, that'll be
Hopefully on
next
a
week.
Monday.
Okay. All right, for the Berger family, Dan Bauer, I'm Mike Hammett. We'll catch you next week here on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.